might come to bring me down just a little bit. I might be a little loud for these people because I'm so soft-spoken. And everybody said, ha. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, open your Bibles with me today to 2 Timothy chapter 1. As I build a foundation for the direction the Lord is leading today. Everyone, just for an announcement also. Oh, she's not telling nobody yet. Okay, it's secret. In other words, Pastor, keep your mouth shut. Got it. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 13, the Word of God says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." I look to the one next to you and say, you surely are a keeper. You are being kept by him. Amen? And I'm glad that you're being kept. Hallelujah. Amen. I think that one of the things, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've been through in life, God wants you to understand that you're a keeper and that he loves you and he has great plans and purposes for every life of each and every one of us. One of the things the Father's been speaking to my heart about is usually this happens at Christmas time. It seems like at Christmas time we have the Christmas holiday, it seems like, and we tend to end the year on Christmas, and the Lord said the year isn't over yet, okay? He isn't finished with 2019 yet, even though he has great and mighty things in store for us in 2020, he's not done with this year yet. Look to your neighbor and say, God is not done with you this year yet. Amen. Y'all said, you two speaking to each other? Did you tell each other that y'all were keepers? Look at the one next to you and say, you're a keeper. Yeah, you are too. Hallelujah. So go with me to the text this morning in 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll see what the Lord wants to say to us through the preaching and teaching of his word today. For a heads up, for understanding, James Carr is preaching at a church, a brethren church back in West Virginia this morning. Amen. So James and Katie and Robert and them and other family members are there, and we thank God for the door of opportunity that opened for him to preach. Amen. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 16, no matter how many are going through something, is somebody going through something? Okay. Verse number 16 says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it is first begun at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him and well-doing as unto a faithful creator." Today I want to speak to you this morning on the title of this morning's message is Finishing Well. We're going to look at the trust, the trials, and the triumph. The trust, the trials, and the triumph. Can we lift our word together, make a declaration together here? Repeat after me, say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God says I am. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your love and your mercy and your grace. And we're so grateful for your word. And I pray, Father God, that you speak to me today. May the words that proceed out of my mouth be edifying, bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. And when all is said and done, all glory and honor and praise will be unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we thank you, Father God, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So first, we're going to look at the trust. So if you, in Psalms 37, verse number 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, this next area that I'm going into, I've been battling the Lord on it, okay? And how many know that when you battle with the Lord, you don't win? The Lord's taken me to a place that I am not comfortable with, okay? In other words, but I have to do it for your benefit. Okay? Recognize that the Lord has ordinances and things in his word. He says, you'll trust me for your health. You trust me for your family. You trust me for your salvation. But you have problem trusting me with your money. Hello? I'm not saying this to anybody. I'm speaking to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you. God has established in his word ways for us to be blessed. Amen. We walk in the blesser in favor of God when we keep his word. You know, in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, he says this. He says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. The church where you attend is your home, is your storehouse, not ministries around. I sow to ministries around the world, but not my tithe. I sow offerings to them. And he says, bring all your tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your name's sake. You know, and I was thinking about that, and I was praying about that, and I've been a tither all my life, ever since I gave my heart to Jesus. And I've trusted the Lord with my finances. And it's kind of interesting in this ministry, just to bring you up to date, and this is no condemnation nowhere, and I'm not speaking to anybody, but the Lord told me to give an example. And I'm going to give an example. I believe what I sow in secret, I'm reward openly for. So I'm not bringing any glory to me or to my wife or to my family. I'm bringing glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. At the end of this year, this is Pastor Carl's paychecks. Pastor Carl, because of the finances of the church, was not able to deposit these checks. But I tithed on each one of those, and my wife and I, just to give you an idea, my wife and I together make about $75,000 a year. We tithed $15,000 of what we have given in tithes, not just in offerings, but in tithes to this ministry and other ministries. Okay? So we had tithed. Now the Lord gave us back double over and above what we sowed. Amen. At the end of this year, we had money coming in from every direction, and we had over two times as much as we tithed in offerings was given back to us in cash. Not in property values or whatever. And I want you to understand something in God's principles. We cannot outgive God. Amen. That we walk in the blessing and the favor of God. And some people said, well, that was the Old Testament. The law wasn't abolished in Christ Jesus, it was fulfilled. Amen. In other words, these things were established for us to follow them. And when we follow them, we walk in the blessings of God. We walk in the favor of God. Amen. And the reason, if everyone knows me, the ones that even from the time I started this ministry, I have never asked for money. God told me not to ask for money, and I'm not asking for your money. What I'm saying to you, I'm giving you a godly principle. If you put it to work, you'll reap from it. Because it's the only place in the Bible where he says, prove me. He says, prove me in it. And he's faithful. Where's my wife? There you are. I'll give you the checks. Hey, I give them to you, baby. Don't say I never gave you anything. Hallelujah. Truthfully, everything we have is ours. I have anything. We. Amen? Amen. I am blessed with a wonderful wife. So he's talking about trust in Psalms 118. I'm glad I got that past me. And wait a minute. I said to the Lord, I don't need that, but he said, they do. They do. Paul said this. The Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't follow the person. Follow the Christ in the person. Follow the word in the person. Amen? And that's what he is saying. In Psalms 118, he says it is better in verse number 8. He says it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. In other words, I'm not putting my trust in my government. I'm putting my trust in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He controls it all. I thank God for my government. I pray for my government. The Bible tells me to pray for those in authority. And I pray for them, but I don't put my trust in them. My trust is in Christ alone. On Christ, a solid rock, I'll stand. Oh, the ground is sinking sand. Amen. So as we're walking in God's blessing and favor, so he tells us in Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 10. The prophet Isaiah poses a question. The question is this: who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and have no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. You know, that's why that Solomon would say, well, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understandings. All your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Amen. So he's saying to us simply this is, one, we're to trust him. Amen. Remember this. We have to get this because there's a tendency to get our eyes on money. And the Apostle Paul wrote to his student Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:10. He says, the love of money is the root of all evil. While some have coveted after, they diverted from the faith and they pierced themselves with many sorrows. Amen. Amen. In other words, I'm trusting God for everything. Amen. Amen. He is my provider. Jehovah Jireh is my provider. Amen. He provides for each and every one of our needs according to his riches and glory and Christ Jesus. So he says to us, and when we're trusting him, he's not saying that we will not go through a time of trial, that we will not go through a time of test. He says in Philippians chapter 4, in the midst of trials, I love what the Apostle Paul says. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's in prison for the gospel, okay? This guy's not out celebrating at a party for New Year's, okay? He's in prison, okay? And he writes this letter to the church at Philippi. And he says in verse number 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Let your request be made known unto God. And the God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. Amen? Shall keep. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a keeper. You're being kept. Your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen? I'm so grateful that God is faithful. He who has begun a good work in you and I is faithful to see it through. Amen? And we serve a God that's the author and finisher of our faith. He doesn't start something, he doesn't finish. And he's doing something in each and every one of our hearts and each and every one of our lives. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, we're even also kept from evil. Kept from evil. And verse number 1, he says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Amen? But he says to us, that the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, now he's a keeper and we're being kept. Amen? We're keepers or we're being kept. Verse 5, we're being kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He said, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now through for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but every time I think I'm going through something, let me say, I'll be honest with you, be truthful, transparent. When I was in my complaining room, when the Lord tells me, he sends me back to my complaining room, the room where I complain, it's this room, it's like a closet, and no one listens, and he isn't even listening either. Hello? You know, if you're trying to take all your complaints to the Lord, you know what he tells me when I take my complaints to the Lord? He says, look in the mirror. When I complain about someone else, he says, look in the mirror. Hello? Amen. There's no one that's perfect in this room, but each and every one of us serve a perfect God. Amen. And we serve a God that does exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or we even think. Amen. Sometimes our mindsets are so small. Amen. And then all of a sudden it was just like favor left, favor right, favor coming every different directions. I thank God. Last week I got a call from an individual that came up to us and said that he wanted to meet with us and said they want to bless Greatest Freedom Ministries and supply our propane gas for the ministry. And we were paying $2.24 a gallon for the propane, and they gave it to us for $1.18 for the next 3 years with a 3-year agreement for the next 3 years. That guy, they wanted to bless the ministry. God's got a plan for Greatest Freedom Ministries. God has a plan for every person that's in this room. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give you hope and give you an expected end. What's your hope? Our hope is in nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. So as I'm going in that thing, I'm looking at the Lord is saying to us, when we're trusting him in all areas in our life, even when it looks like that it's trying, okay? It seems to be trying at times. Amen. But he says that even in the trying times that he will see us through. He says that we're kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though for a season, if need be, this as I read, that probably did, you are in heaviness through the manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Why did I read that again? Because the Holy Spirit said, read it again. Amen. What does God want to get? He wants to get it into our hearts and our lives. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, it's only temporary. Don't get your eye on the storm. Get your eye on the resolve. Keep your eyes upon Him. He says that He'll carry you through. He'll see you through. Don't get so caught up in what you're going through. If you get caught up in what you're going through will hold you prisoner. But God came and He said His word to set the captive free. Who the Lord has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. How many are free in the house? Can we give God a shout of praise in the place today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says to you and I, He says when we're trusting Him in all areas of our lives, and even in the midst of that trial, He is saying to you and I today, you will triumph if you do not take your eyes off of Me. Amen. He says to you and I in Psalms 89. Psalm David. Amen. David knew what he was called to be, okay? Even though he was going through some storms. Amen. How many know that King David didn't do everything right? How many know that David messed up? How many know that God still forgave him? How many know that Jesus came out of the seed of David? Amen. And we live in an unrighteous world, but we serve a righteous God. Hallelujah. So no matter what your past is, He says you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So He says in Psalms 89:1, the psalmist says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall Thou establish in the very heavens. You know, the Apostle Paul said this, and it's probably one of my favorite scriptures. How many know I have a lot of favorite scriptures? Amen. And in different places at different times, I get to use all of them. So no matter what you're going through, this is what the Lord wants you to get in your heart today. So you don't look at your circumstance. Your circumstance is the circle you're standing in. And God's calling you to step out of that circle. Amen. To step out of that circle. If you stay in your circumstance, you'll stay in that circle you're standing in. God says step out. Stepping out takes an act of faith. Faith is the substance of things we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen. If we have to see it before we take a step, there's no faith involved. So he's, what he is saying here, the Apostle Paul wants to remind you and I, as he's reminding himself. And Romans 8:35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But I love what he says. Nay, in all these things, we are more than a conqueror through him that loved us. Then he said this. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature is able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So I want you to understand, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, we're trusting Him. We're going through this trial, of these trials in life, but we're going to triumph it because we're going to be triumphant and be victors because our trust and our hope is in Christ alone. Amen. This is even... Tomorrow morning, I'm leaving bright and early in the morning to go to Riverdale, Maryland, for my Uncle Danny's funeral. My Uncle Danny was a pastor of one of the churches that my granddaddy pioneered in Beltsville, Maryland. And Danny lived a life for the Lord and served the Lord. And we can't even imagine what took place in that moment when he comes absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Jesus said this. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? Now we may see Danny's empty shell tomorrow, but he was immediately caught up in the presence of God. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 55. He says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is the victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even in death, we aren't defeated. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel pretty good. Hello? We preach and we teach about the glory of the Lord all the time. And in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. We hear these words, but then we get revelation and see that this life is just for a time, is just for a season in life. But it's nothing compared to eternity. Amen. This life is just brief compared to eternity. Amen. I don't know about you, but I enjoy serving the Lord here. I rejoice in serving the Lord here. I rejoice in seeing the good things that God does, that he's a really good God that we serve. And I see him do so much. I see him raise the dead. I see him heal the sick. I see him deliver the captives. I see him open the prison doors. I see him doing all these things. His word is true. Amen. Everything he said is coming to pass in our very presence. And we witness it all the time. But sometimes we just take it for granted. But he says, but this life is but for a moment. But it's not compared to eternity. I know today, I know it's hard on Melanie and Billy and Danielle and the family members. But I know he's in heaven. Amen. And that's what he served the Lord for. Amen. So in closing, hallelujah. What is he saying to you and us, you and I today? He said, he's called you and I to trust him in all areas of our lives. When we trust him, even in the midst of the trials that we face in life, we will be triumphant. Amen? Amen? Look to your neighbor and say, this is only temporary. Whatever you're going through, this too shall pass. Amen? And when I think about that, in closing, I think about the treasure. The treasure that's laid up for us. Our treasures is laid up in heaven, where rust and the moth do not corrupt. And I love what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:6. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful to see it through. I know, my God, he doesn't start anything, he doesn't finish. Now, do we sometimes quit? Do we sometimes give up? Do we sometimes drop the ball? Yeah, we do, but you know what he says? He says, son, when you fall, wipe the dust off of yourself, get up, and let's start walking again. He says, I'll walk with you. I'll carry you. I'll be your closest friend. I'll stick to you closer than a brother. So what he is saying to you and I is what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12. Verse number 1, the apostle says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do have so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So in closing tonight, what the Lord is saying, it says, when we trust him with all things, even in the trials, we'll triumph because truly he gives us treasure beyond measure. And I think what God wants you to understand, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, if you've messed up, fess up. Amen. If you fail, get back up. The Father has a plan and purpose for everyone in the room. Amen. And you're valuable. You're not only valuable to him, but you're valuable to us. Each and every one of you have so much value. You have unique personalities, and no one was created like you. And no one can do for God's kingdom what he called you to do. Amen? And that shows us how valuable and how very important each and every one of us are to him. And since he values you and I so much, don't you believe as his children we ought to value each other the more? Don't you think we ought to respect and honor one another the more? Don't you think that we ought to listen to our parents and obey our parents because that's pleasing to the Lord when we do that? And when we're disobedient to our parents, we're disobedient to the Lord that loves us. Amen? So God has a plan for all of us. It's beautiful to see the lovely children, and they're just blossoming, and they're just springing in the natural. But some of them that are in this, that are here in these children are grown spiritually. A lot. They're growing more. Don't look at them as little kids. It may be that 5 or 6 year old that has the anointing of God to lay hands on you to get you delivered from a sickness or a disease. It might be that little child out of the mouth of babes that praise will be established. It might be out of that child that the Lord brings forth a concert in the atmosphere. It may be out of that child. Amen. So let's not take anything for granted that God uses all parts. And all parts matter. Amen. And one thing God wants to say to everyone in here, he is the glory and he is the lifter of our heads. He sent his word here today to encourage you, to lift your hearts. He knows what you're going through. There hasn't been one thing that's missed his attention. That times of sadness and sorrow when it's been in that low time. He's seen the tears. He's seen the hearts. And he's there. And he said he'll bring you and carry you through. Keep your eyes upon me, says the Lord. What I told you in secret, I will bring out and manifest openly. Amen. Because he's a God that is super duper. Amen. Can we all just stand and just thank the Lord for his love and his mercy today? Can we just lift our hands to heaven? Father, we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace and your love that abounds and abounds and abounds to each and every one of us. Father, we thank you, Father God, that you called us and set us apart for such a time as now. Father, I pray for each and every one here, Father God. Your word says that any man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. We're not looking back, Father God. We're pressing on. We're pressing forward, Father God. We're walking it out together. Father, if there's any sick in this room right now, Father God, I bind every weapon the enemy's formed against bodies right now in the name of Jesus. Every cold symptom right now in the name of Jesus, I bind it. I call it loose by the power and authority of Jesus' names. I speak hearts functioning as they were created. I speak minds functioning as they were created. I speak the joy of the Lord strengthening bodies and minds and souls and spirits in this room today. I thank you, Father God, for all that you've done in the past. And like you said at the very beginning, that you're not finished yet. You're not finished with 2019. You're not finished doing what you're doing in our homes. I thank you, Father God, for saving my family members, my loved ones, Father God, my nieces, my nephews, my grandchildren, my cousins, my uncles, my aunts, my grandparents, my parents, whatever it is, Father God, my brothers, my sisters. I thank you, Father God, that you're moving on their hearts even now. So, Lord, we praise you and give you glory. So, Father God, you spoke to us today. So, Lord, help us to trust you, even in the midst of the trial, knowing that we will triumph. And may we treasure your grace and your mercy and your love, and we'll never cease to give you praise in Jesus' name. Father, be